Welcome to The Ether. Today is Thursday, November 17th, 2022. Today on The Ether, the FTX collapse, making the case for self-custody. Hosted by Serenity Shield and Cosmos Haas. Let's take a listen.
I'm really feeling all too well. Doesn't agree with me at all late at night. I've got this kind of cutoff where it has to be finished by 4 p.m. Or I really do a psychological thing more than anything, probably. But yeah, caffeine's, I was talking earlier on to someone, it's funny, there must be something in the air about caffeine because I was having this very conversation with someone earlier today, one of the guys from Chiron Labs, and we were talking about how before the invention of caffeine, the world was just so much more productive. When you look at the history books, it's actually quite interesting, statistically speaking, what was achieved in the world before the invention of caffeine. So I said to him, my kind of counter-argument to that as well, look at blockchain, look at what we're creating now, and I would guess that most people are probably caffeinated morning, noon, and night in this space.
I would venture to give a crazy statistic that at least 98% of people that are building in this space are on caffeine, I mean, or on something. I mean, shit, dude, like some of these guys... like Sonny from Osmosis, him and Josh, they built Osmosis. I think it was at a hackathon in like 72 hours, and they basically built a code and didn't even sleep for like almost three straight days. So you're telling me they weren't on stuff? You know what I mean?
Well, if it was good enough for the Beatles to be creative back in the day, then it's good enough for the guys now.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll give it a few moments just to open this up. This is the first time we're opening up Serenity Spaces. So, I mean, first and foremost, thank you for everyone that's actually joining. It's something that we've had in the pipeline that we want to do for quite some time now, raising awareness about numbers of issues and really just talking about the blockchain space, the technology, news, updates, everything that's going on. It's not so much about the project itself, but really just an educational platform where we can invite other experts from the space, other people that share our passion, our philosophy for blockchain and everything we're trying to strive towards, and really just share an open, engaging space. So each week we're going to have one of my good close friends here, Cosmos Haas. I've got a lot in common with this guy, and he's going to be helping me on the hosting side. And you're going to be featuring Haas pretty much every week, I think, is the plan moving forward. So it's going to be great to have you here. I'm glad that we're getting this off the ground. And alongside that, tonight we've managed to invite one of our other good friends, Ryan Solomon from Generation Infinity, or Genfinity as they're better known in the space. For anyone that's not aware, Genfinity are a new digital media organization specializing in the Web3 space. Ryan himself is the CEO and founder at Genfinity, and very much passionate about privacy, blockchain space. He runs his own spaces every week as well. A lot of you people might be familiar with what the work he does over there. But yeah, I just wanted to say thank you for Ryan for joining us tonight. We've got a lot in common with one another. I know we've featured in your spaces before. So really, tonight, the whole kind of premise of what we wanted to do was in the back of the FTX crash. There's no secret what's in the news at the moment. It's at the forefront of everyone's mind, what the outcome has been, the aftermath, everything that we're going through. I know personally that I experienced some sort of financial loss, or at least asset loss in terms of value. I know others are feeling the pinch in different ways. And really, just more than anything, it's the psychology of what something like this can do. Because so many of us, planning ahead, we're thinking about all the great things that cryptocurrency can do and all the speculative investments that we've made, how they might change our lives. And it just psychologically can set us back. And it's really taking this chance and this platform to give ourselves a voice, to speak openly about the industry, This is a no-holds-barred area. There'll be no judgment. There'll be no sort of retribution for saying something controversial. That is the whole point of decentralization, for freedom of expression, saying what we want to say and opening it up. I mean, it's not every day of the week that $1 billion of client funds goes missing from a crypto firm. FTX, everyone was familiar with FTX. It was synonymous with crypto space, synonymous with blockchain. And everything now that we're experiencing with the SBF aftermath, we're waiting to see what happens. So I might hand over here. Hoss, would you like to do an introduction about yourself, what your sort of your background is and how you came into the space? Obviously, it's the first week we're doing this, so it's a good opportunity to open the floor. And then we'll hand over to Ryan at Genfinity as well.
Absolutely, man. The bromance is in the air. But my name's Cosmos Haas. I go by Haas, but basically my journey in crypto started when COVID happened. I am an accountant and essentially in CeFi, really. It's kind of my background, business development. But COVID happened and I got laid off for a couple of months and I understood what crypto was. I have always been a huge tech enthusiast my whole entire life. Like, I can build computers and I can code a little bit, but literally was the first time that I actually had some free time to figure stuff out. You know, I was like, man, if this can happen, I need to diversify myself and, you know, find a skill, you know? And I did the traditional route, went on YouTube, started doing a lot of research in Bitcoin, Ethereum, like some XRP, a couple other ones. And then I kept digging. I wanted to know more and more how these things can communicate with one another. And then it led me to finding Cosmos because they're building like all the infrastructure to make all these different applications and blockchains communicate with one another. And the fact that I'm even doing this right now is always fascinating to me because I think it was July of last summer was the first time I even had a Twitter in my life. Because I'm real chill. We're talking about privacy. I'm a real private person. And I understood, like, you know what? I need this Twitter thing because basically that's where all the information is coming from, like instant information. So I used it initially just as an educational source to follow quite a few people in the space. And it was like a Friday night. Didn't even know what Twitter space was. Some guys were talking about Cosmos. I buzzed in. This is right around this time last year, actually, Thanksgiving time. And just started talking Cosmos, and that same night it went from just a few guys just chilling talking about crypto to, you know, a few hundred people. And it was really empowering to see all the people come on, and it was kind of like my calling. I was, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to start doing some Twitter spaces and just kind of giving back because I put so many thousands of hours studying this stuff. And I'm like, you know what, I understand there's a lot of people out there that basically don't have the time that I did have to study this stuff. So let's just try to help them out. And it's been kind of my mission since that point on is to give back and educate. And not only that, but like it's such a growing ecosystem in Cosmos. So I try to put the pieces together, help out developers, kind of do all the dirty work while they build and do their thing. I kind of just, you know, I'm here to help. And I love doing these Twitter spaces. I get to meet all kind of cool people, hear their backstories. And not only that, I mean, selfishly, I get to learn while I'm doing this, you know, talk to all kind of different people. So that's kind of my story, and that's why I'm here, and I'm appreciative of everyone that's still here during a bear market because humans are kind of conditioned to basically when the going gets tough, they go, you know, they get going. But this is the time not to get going. This is the time to build, learn, and grow and collaborate and things like that. So just appreciate everyone. That's kind of my story. Thank you.
Awesome, Hoss. Thank you for that really detailed kind of introduction. And you can really just hear it in your voice, just how passionate you are about the space. I know that we've shared a number of these conversations and we've got a lot that we would like to get through. So on that note, I'd like to hand you guys over to Ryan Solomon from Generation Infinity, Genfinity. Again, another big advocate in the space for pushing blockchain technology for the purpose it was built. Privacy advocate, you know, there's so much more. So Ryan, I'll not do you a disservice here, I'll let you take the microphone.
Yeah, I have to ask Cosmos, are you a Pennsylvania guy?
Yeah, I'm a Yinzer, my man. I'm a Yinzer.
Oh, dude, I could tell 100% from the voice, man. yeah, <it's laughs> nice to hear another one of my kindred spirits out there, bro. No, I guess to give you guys a little bit of a background, I mean, from my personal standpoint, got into crypto really late 2016. Didn't start even researching whatsoever until probably, I would say, early to mid 2018, if you would call that research. And then Genfinity from the super into the XRP community, started diversifying, I would say, late 2019. Looking into, like, I know I participated in, like, the Hedera Hashgraph, the HBAR testnet, back when you could scroll through literal, like, news pieces and get micropayments streamed to you in HBAR. That was, like, way back in the day. You know, looking into quant, looking into utility-based assets, things like that. From the Genfinity aspect, we started this back in June of last year. So June of 2021. And really, we've just been building. I mean, we have a lot of stuff that we haven't even talked about yet, you know, building out a social platform, kind of an educational aspect. We actually were going to launch something with Alliance Block and took community insight from that, did not do it, pivoted back from it, and then have just, that was back in like December or November of last year, I think, and have just continued to build, have a lot of plans for that in the future. But right now, I think, especially with where we're at, you know, for me, it was very important, being the head of something and how much I care about the space, not to launch an NFT or a token or a coin until it made sense to do anything like that, and to just do what I could be good at, which is kind of building out cross-chain communities, trying to educate, me not educating people necessarily, but allowing like the actual people building in these communities to educate people. Trying to host Twitter spaces in a way where it's kind of an open forum aspect across chains. Certainly, like you said, I'm a privacy advocate. I do believe that digital sovereignty is going to be gigantic moving forward, especially with CBDCs and especially with the FTX stuff. I think spaces like this right now, making this case for self-custody, there's a couple of different key things that you have to go back into in this space that are just very, very nascent, but they get overlooked all the time. Custodying your own assets is gigantic. It's one of them. Transparency, diversification is another one. Like, never putting all your eggs in one basket is huge to me. Never overloading yourself on risk, because if you trust people, and I've trusted people before and gotten screwed, if you trust people and only people, and you don't see the entire, let's say, bill of lading that they're actually facilitating behind the scenes, you have no idea what's going on. Like, but the FTX thing should be a perfect example. Solana should be a perfect example with how overleveraged FTT was from FTX. I mean, this space is kind of the Wild West still, unfortunately, but it should also be looked at as an opportunity, because it being the Wild West still means that you are very early. And just, you know, happy to be up here. I think this space is fantastic. The case for self-custody is an amazing topic, and it can't be stated enough. It's not the hypiest topic in the world, but that's fantastic. It shouldn't be the hypiest topic in the world, but it's one of the most important topics that you can even ever be discussing in this space. So kudos to you guys for hosting it.
Thanks, Ryan. And you know something, it's funny you say that it's not the most sort of, it's most exciting. It's, and for many people, it's probably a boring subject, but this is the point. You know, the blockchain space, for what it was supposed to be built for in the first place, that you named a couple of keywords there: traceability, usability, immutability, all of those kind of things that it does. That's been lost in a lot of the speculative times that we've witnessed the last few years. You know, all of the kind of moonshot media, all of this kind of narrative that we should all jump in and ride the hype train to the moon, and we're going to be all very rich and everything that goes with it. And along the way, it's been forgotten why we're here. And for the most part, technologies, when they're good and they achieve something, they're relatively boring to the average consumer, you know, because they're solving a real world problem. And for it to do that, a lot of the time, it's something very, very simple. And that is where we have lost sight of what blockchain technology is. And we have confused and conflated the cryptocurrency space and blockchain and lost the meaning in the middle. And actually, for me, it's really kind of pissed me off this week, looking at what the media has been doing. Obviously, I know what they're doing. There's a lot of clickbait stuff going on, and they're trying to get people on board with what they're trying to say. But it's all about SBF's the bad guy. Let's go after that narrative. Let's focus on that. Let's make that the point where we get people through the door so that they can understand what we're trying to do and trying to say. But the reality is, they're not actually touching on the facts. And cryptocurrency has been directly affected by something that is really not their fault. DeFi did not let us down. Decentralization did not fail us. Centralized exchanges, centralized authorities have let us down. And I know where you sit on this one, and I know where I sit on this one, but certainly CBDCs are coming. We've talked about this before. And whether we believe in whether you want to believe the manipulation narrative or whether you want to believe that it was done on purpose or not, the reality is it seems like far too much of a coincidence, the stuff we're seeing. So there's a long way to go. And I guess the first question I would probably ask you guys on the back of this tonight is, what do you think the impact for the crypto industry or the blockchain industry might be? And what can we probably anticipate seeing from the regulators? Because for me, just brushing over it briefly, regulation does have to happen. We need to see better control measures. But surely there has to be a middle ground without an all-out war on the crypto market. That would be catastrophic. It would be really disappointing. And it would get in the way of all the great progress that we've made to date. So that's just some of my thoughts on what I think at the moment. But we'd love to hear from you guys as well.
Yeah, I think it's all been in front of our faces for, if you're paying attention and looking at what, let's say Bank for International Settlements, IMF, European Central Bank, Bank of England, what they've all been saying in their documentation for, I would say over a year at this point in time, it's pretty much, at least I hope that this is the way that exchanges get regulated, where it's essentially, you're going to have an intertwining of the digital economy with digital assets, with the traditional financial system. It's just no matter if you don't think that's going to happen, I'm sorry, you're wrong. It's 100% going to happen. What they've been basically stating is same risks, same rules. So I do believe from the exchange, or at least the centralized exchange standpoint, it's not necessarily what I believe is going to happen. It's what they're telling us is going to happen, where they're going to start regulating these crypto exchanges in the same ways that they would regulate banking infrastructure and these banks across the board. That, I think, is number one. But regardless, it has to come down to like the individual person in this space, like understanding how important self-custody really is. Like, unless I'm trading on an exchange on a daily basis, like me personally, there's probably no reason for me to custody my money or my assets on that exchange, let alone if I'm just holding my assets on an exchange. What type of revenue is that exchange garnering from me just holding my assets on there? A lot of exchanges make their revenue by trading fees. So they're not really incentivized for you to keep your money on there. And especially with all the dirty dealings going on recently, this should just even shine a spotlight on it even more. But from the regulation aspect, I do think they're going to start regulating exchanges, or at least the tier one exchanges, in the same way that they would regulate, the banking infrastructure and the banks. KYC is a million percent going to be mandatory on these exchanges, unfortunately, as much as it sucks for most people. DeFi, I don't think, is going away, but you have to still onboard into some sort of a trusted entity. And I'm just curious to watch how all that pans out.
Yeah, I completely agree. I was going to say, go ahead, Justin. You haven't even spoke yet. Go ahead, buddy.
Hi, on the heels of that, I was going to say, I always look at DeFi like you go to a flea market or a yard sale. You're buying something off Craigslist, you're paying cash to someone, there's no tax, shipping, or anything. No one really knows what you're doing, right? Like, you want to go get a guitar, you get it, and you trade an asset for something you value, and someone puts a sticker price on it and they take that. And then I look at centralized exchanges as using something like Reverb.com or eBay, where there's like transaction fees in the middle, but there's a little more protections usually for the users. Like, if you buy a guitar and it never shows up with shipping, then you have some recourse with like the platform that you used. And where this leads me into is, I do believe that you said like same risk, same regulation. It's crazy to me that something like FTX can happen and people can point to it and be like, oh, crypto, DeFi, that's why, and brush it over like it's okay. And even I said something to my wife about it yesterday, and she was kind of like, well, isn't that the risk that you take? And I'm like, why is that normal? Why is it normal to say that it's a risk to put your valuable assets on an exchange, even if you're only sitting it there you could be the unlucky person that sat it there for a day. You know what I mean? Gone to bed and woke up and been like, everything's gone, it's been vaporized. It just, to me, is this is where I think regulation needs to come in the most, is to protect the consumers that are actually going to use it. Because like you said, it's coming with a blend of traditional finance, no matter what anybody wants to say. Like, that's where we're headed. And to see these giant freaking exchanges in big like craters in the earth just liquidating everybody's assets that were available, like, a part of it, is just so wrong. It makes me so angry. And
it's a combination, Justin, between three things. And it can be simply wrapped up as manipulation, fear-mongering, and root cause analysis. So root cause analysis, just because FTX was doing shitty things with user funds doesn't mean, like, the root cause of all of that, all of the problems, that it is the individual users were either A, over-leveraged into one asset, or B, holding all their assets on one exchange, or C, or D, or E, or what, however you want to extrapolate that out. Manipulation is when you see what kind of these market makers were doing, all these shady deals on the back end, what Sam Bankman-Fried was facilitating, like trading these users' funds, like essentially onboarding cryptocurrencies, hyping them up, and then pre-buying the tokens and dumping on the people. So this goes even back before this collapse. This even, you know, the manipulation aspect can even be extrapolated out. Like, come on, does anybody really believe that they got hacked after all the shenanigans went down? Or do you think that was a little bit of a, like a washing of the records? And then the third thing is kind of that fear-mongering aspect. Brad Sherman has been historically one of the senators in the United States that has been always against crypto. And if you do enough research into that guy, there's a company called, I think it's Empower, it's either Empower or Democracy Oversight. If you look at his largest campaign contributors, he talks all this shit on crypto. His largest campaign contributor during the last session where he ran is literally a crypto company backed by crypto. It's acidine to see all it, and even these Twitter spaces. Most of us saw those like 30,000 people Twitter spaces. God knows how many bots were in that thing. And I kept hearing there was a lot of value in those spaces. Make no mistake about it. We got to hear all the shady dealings from these exchanges. But I kept hearing every 4 or 5 minutes, oh my God, something else horrible has happened. Oh my God, something else. We're just getting news, right? We're breaking news right now. Something else has happened. Like, that is not helping the crypto community out there as a whole. And then I also heard you influencers, and I don't like the word influencer whatsoever, but you people out there that are influencing people, you need to start talking about how to self-custody your assets. You have 30,000 fucking people in this chat right now. You do that. You have the power to do that right now. You know, I'm trying to do that on my own. I don't need you to fucking tell me to do it when you're paying for bots to come into your fucking space. Like, you do all that work. There's so many issues in this space, and that's never going to go away. So it always has to end up being root cause analysis, doing your own due diligence. You're still going to make mistakes, but you can make less mistakes if you don't over leverage yourself and you use a little bit of risk management also. And that should always be stated, I think.
Yeah. So I agree with all that. It's unfortunate because not to pat myself on the back, but I'm an accountant. So like crypto philosophically just makes sense to me, because realistically, if you think about it, every blockchain, really all it is a decentralized accounting ledger. That's perfect. And I got into this space because, well, there's a lot of things I got into this space for, but I see a lot of shady shit in real life. And I knew that centralized exchanges were acting like hedge funds and prime brokers. So personally, I've never, ever, not even for a day, not even for overnight, had anything on a centralized exchange. It's just like hit and miss. Like, give me my funds and I get out of there so quick. I get sketched out even when I'm trying to send it, you know, because there's been times where the market's moving. Oh, well, there's wallet upgrade. You know, there's maintenance upgrades. You know, that's all full of shit. But anyhow, you know, it's really sad that things like that happen. And really, it's not a crypto problem. It's not a decentralization problem. It's just human problem. Like, it's just evil, greedy people doing shady shit. And it gives a bad eye for everyone. And unfortunately, like, I don't cover like all of crypto, but I primarily cover a lot of Cosmos content. And the mojo was good. And really, people in Cosmos didn't get affected by it, because you can look and see who SBF and Alameda was invested in. It was no Cosmos things. And that's one of the reasons I love Cosmos. It's all communitarian. There's very minimal venture capitalist money. I'm not against all VCs, but I got into this space because it's more like us versus them. And a lot of these cryptos, these monolithic powerhouses, they want to be the one ruler of the world. I don't see it. I don't agree with it. And that's why when you were saying about having, like, you know, no, your eggs not in one basket. Well, that's the whole premise of Cosmos app chain thesis, is it's now it's like 54 or 55 sovereign blockchains that all speak the same language and we all communicate, and you can send data back and forth. IBC has never been hacked. It's the most secure way of sending data from one sovereign chain to another. So just imagine like one planet to another, or one island to another. And we all speak the same language. So philosophically, Cosmo has always resonated with me. And I don't know many people out there that don't really know about Cosmos. As soon as they hear the word Cosmos, they probably think of Adam. But the people that are in Cosmos, like when they think of Cosmos, they just think of the future, how all these blockchains are going to communicate with one another. And, you know, this thing does, it's really a sour, you know, when things like this happen, because maybe someone was just about to get into crypto for the first time because it's, you know, the holidays or whatever. Now it's like, oh, this is a scam. Like, why would I do that? Or maybe they just got in and now their price, you know, whatever they got into. And a lot, you know, most people, when they first get in, they keep their funds on centralized exchanges. So that hurts, you know, like it hurts this whole space. But the fact that they want to make it out to be like this is a bad thing is a terrible look. And I don't think, I mean, I think the decentralization will still work, like DeFi will still work. But yeah, I have no problem with them regulating centralized exchanges because they shouldn't be doing shady shit like it anyways. They're just taking your money and they're just literally stealing it and doing whatever they want with it. And that not only goes for centralized exchanges, we didn't really touch about this. And I'm not here to badmouth like these places, but if you're in crypto, who gives a shit about giving someone all your assets and potentially making like 5%, 10%? Like, don't do that. It just doesn't make sense. And I never like shit talk anyone, but like BlockFi and all these like Nexo and Celsius and all that. Like I'm from that type of environment in real life. Like I don't trust those type of people. Like I don't want to give you all my assets and give me 5% return. Like I'll just throw that in DeFi and hope for the best. And at least I know I can see my assets. Like I'm a real big Osmosis guy. Like I see all my shit on there and I could take it off whenever I want. I don't have to worry about like someone taking my keys or whatever, you know? And that's just kind of like my point about that. I know I just kind of ranted a little bit, but yeah, if you're listening, like take your stuff off centralized exchanges. I don't care which centralized exchange it is. It just doesn't make any sense.
I'll also add to that, if I could jump in there. You know, we talk a lot about the centralization of tech, and I absolutely agree with you on that, that's something that we really need to fight back against. But I'll tell you the other thing that nobody ever seems to talk about is that there's also been a centralization of the voices speaking for the industry and the voices speaking for the community. And ultimately, so you've got somebody like Sam Bankman-Fried, or you know, even somebody less sketchy than him, Raoul Paul. Great analysis, but you know, still he's one of the guys out there talking, and he's far from the only one. You know, I'm not picking on him, just to be specific. But the point is, we let these people get up and talk about the space, and yet we and again, not to take anything away from Raoul Paul, he's actually been a pretty decent, good faith actor, but we allow some people to speak with a much louder voice than others, and we don't constrain their speech in a way. We don't hold them accountable. I mean, the whole reason this SBF thing became a thing is because we, as a community, failed to hold him accountable all along the way. I think, yes, the technology has to be there. Yes, it has to be decentralized. We also really need to focus on holding the rest of the community accountable, just like we hold ourselves accountable. If we don't, at the end of the day, we have nobody to blame but ourselves, you know?
Valid point. And I think, look, earlier on, Solomon made a good point about those 30,000 member spaces that happened over the last week or so. I was actually personally listening myself. And, you know, the sad thing is the narrative that they're pushing is one of just fear, and it's constant, like every 5 minutes, oh, there's breaking news, man, there's breaking news. Every 5 minutes, there's something new happening. And, you know, they're completely influencing the way people think. And I can tell, you can feel the energy coming from these calls. Like it's negative. It's just negative energy that's been shelled around about the community. And it's back to this point that you're just making there, Dan, that there needs to be more accountability for the voices in this space that have been given the platform to speak the loudest. And at the moment, these people are the ones that we sort of turn to for our news, for our ideas. I was on one earlier on. I won't mention where it was. There was 10,000 people listening. So anyone that's familiar with this space can probably guess. And, you know, they got in an open debate about a piece of news that they dropped, which influenced price action on the Solana chart, to then revoke that because it was a fucking mistake that they made. They hadn't verified their source. And we're talking here like major, major influencers, as we said, for lack of a better word. And I'm sitting there screaming at my phone and I'm thinking, how on earth are these people allowed? We're talking about regulation. We need to regulate them. Never mind the exchanges. We need to regulate these marketing people and these sort of these voices in the space. And that's the reality of what we're facing. You know, everyone's getting to use this as a stage to perform. It's a performance. And meanwhile, you've got guys like myself, and I know in myself who I am, I know what I'm trying to achieve. I know that the people in our team, and I know that others I've met along the way that I personally align myself with, we're passionate about blockchain and the technology. We're really, really, we come from backgrounds where we like to solve problems. You know, it's like, it's a puzzle, and life would be very boring if it was just all about money. For me personally, and I know the guys in our team and others that we've met, it's like, give me a problem and let's work together to solve it as a team. And it might take months, it might take years. Sometimes you can never really find that out. I don't believe that. I think there's always ways to work around things. But meanwhile, we have to operate because we know that the technology that we've been gifted is a beautiful thing. And meanwhile, you've got children, immaturity, and like basically conformity, just jumping around, shouting about how many people they can basically try and get onto their platform to create followers, which then creates an advertising stream for them, which is a revenue generating stream. And that's what it's all about, you know. And a lot of them, unfortunately, are very good at speaking. So they manage to draw people in, they drag in an audience, and that's what happens. And then the FTX thing happened, obviously, a week ago. But let's not forget, only like last month and the month before that, we had Celsius and Luna. And it makes you wonder, like, what is really the credibility of this space like at the moment? Do you guys feel, has it been compromised forever? I think Solomon answered this. I don't think he believes that. And I probably don't believe that myself. But in the here and now, that's probably how people feel a little bit. And Hoss made a good point about those that were probably just entering for the first time for Christmas. Maybe it's a bit of a romantic notion, but it's a reality. That's how the general person enters something new. You know, they feel it out, they take their time. And there's a lot of people who will never come back on the back of this. So open the floor to that one. And I would like to know thoughts on credibility in the space and where we go from here, and has it been compromised?
Yeah, I mean, real quick.
Nikos, I think you hit the nail on the head when you talk about the performance platform, especially with these people that they're not only manipulating the chart prices, they're manipulating people's emotions to basically do their bidding because nobody wants to lose money. And you make a good point when you say people that enter the space that are very careful, maybe they throw a couple $100 here or there on coins that would speculative value, and they're staring at their trust wallet, their MetaMask, their whatever, and then following their favorite influencer who they know also holds the token. And when they drop what is, in air quotes, good or bad news, they're going to knee-jerk react to get out as fast as possible because there's definitely a space-wide like fear. And I think like since I've been in it for about 5 years, and it's like an underlying undertone that everybody is out to screw you over. Like they want to sell you on the token. They want to shill it to you so you buy a bag so that they can get out on your green candle. And that is horrible. And I think like I can't agree more with saying the accountability for letting people like that exist in this space, that rests on all of the users here today right now, people that aren't here today right now. It's being implicit with allowing, I don't even want to say sheep because I hate that term. I hate when people say, if you're ignorant about something, you're a sheep or a follower. But basically, less educated users are just being milked for their ignorance, I guess, of the space. And these people are doing it with complete impunity. And I think, oh man, it makes me so mad. I know you can hear it in my voice.
You know, there's a very good scene. There's a very good scene in Pulp Fiction. And it's, you know, where Samuel L. Jackson's character is talking to Ringo, the guy that's holding up the diner. And he's saying, you know, I'm trying to be the shepherd, Ringo. And look, I think everybody in this space got in here originally because they saw that there was a way to make money and pretty easily. Now, you know, consequently, there's also a pretty easy way to lose money. But ultimately, we got into this because there's a, to some degree or another, we're all a little bit degenerate. Okay. But I think that just by virtue of the fact that we've been there, we know that's really the sort of hook. That's what brings people in. We know as responsible actors in the space, as people that do have a philosophical bent to facilitate a more decentralized society, economy, whatever you want to say, that we know what it's like to get screwed. We know what it's like to be taken advantage of, and we know how it feels when, you know, I think everybody in here remembers that moment when you became a walking, talking, blinking billboard for blockchain technology. I know I do. And, you know, I've met some of the smartest, nicest, greatest people I've ever known being a part of this community. Okay. But not everybody's had that opportunity. Not everybody has had that experience, but everybody is getting into it for similar reasons, at least on the retail end of things. Okay. So that's why it comes to us, it falls to us, the burden, you know, it falls to our shoulders to carry that burden to make sure that we do things the right way from day one. And that is ultimately one of the things I'm proudest about with Serenity Shield, is that I've seen it grow from literally day one, and I've seen how we do things, and I've seen that we've tried to go out of our way to be a paragon of the way shit ought to be, right? The way you run a startup, the way you run a technology startup. It's been great. But I think that everybody can do that. And we're not the only project out there. It happens to be the one that I know. I know that there are other projects out there, and it is incumbent upon us for all of these projects to come together and hold everybody to a higher standard, ourselves especially. So.
Yeah, I like what you guys are doing, especially in the fact like where you guys are starting the space.
And, on the heels of that, talking about whether or not the space has basically been compromised or not necessarily compromised, or like if the validity of the space has been compromised, I think we've seen, and I really do hope we've seen, the end of like the meme coin that can be spun up on Pink Sale and then just rug pulled 6 seconds later. Like Nikos, you mentioned 4 or 5 institutions that went under, and we have such bad ADHD that if it happened a week ago, it's completely out of our mind, right? And I think what really we see here is bear market for builders, like that whole kind of saying. We had an interesting conversation with the guys at Jackal not too long ago, and they said something that I absolutely loved, which was, our technical solution is inherently boring, but it excites us because it's essentially an open source platform for people to creatively build upon. And way back at the beginning of the conversation, we talk about DeFi and all of that. This technology should be accessible to everybody who wants to build upon it. And I even think that maybe in the future, not too distant future, we might even be seeing the complete devaluation of tokens without utility. Like if it doesn't serve a purpose to actually push the tech forward, then I don't really understand why it exists other than being either a cash grab for the creators or I guess like essentially a casino for people that want to spin the roulette wheel. And you know, that's okay too. There's nothing wrong with that. Like Dan said, we got into the space to make money. It's exciting when you throw $100 on something you've never heard of and you watch it move. But really, at the end of the day, it's like I learned the most in this space after losing a ton of money by doing stupid things like that. And if I can bring anything to this space, it would be to help newcomers not make those same mistakes, because it was a very hard lesson won or learned. And I could have learned it just as well by slowing down and not kind of being like susceptible to the hype. And I fell victim to like the influencer. That whole thing, like, you know, you're like, oh, this person's brilliant. They have so many followers. They know exactly what they're talking about. I have to put my money where they say it goes. And then I wake up in the morning and it's a hole in the ground. So anyway, just wanted to say that.
So this is a point I'm going to let Ryan speak, because I'm going to reprimand Justin later on, Ryan. I don't think he can hear you because twice you've been talking and he's coming over you. So Justin, you're on the official yellow card warning. for spaces etiquette, but no, I don't think Justin can hear you actually at the moment. So Ryan, if you want to come in, I know you were going to start. You were speaking and it cut off.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, I think I can't remember if it was Dan or Justin that said that Twitter Spaces, right? With 10,000 people listening, X, Y, and Z.
You do a little bit of due diligence into that Twitter space. That Twitter space, and I think most of us know what Twitter space we're talking about, literally talking about collusion and talking about it not being fair for the crypto community and talking about equality and talking about, you know, manipulation. And you dive a little bit deeper into that, that same fucking Twitter space, the company behind it was literally saying, hey, we'll show your fucking coin. We'll hype it up. Pay for services to show your coin here. And it's like absolutely crazy that like that is actually kind of what's occurring. Like one of the trickiest things with the Genfinity aspect, like from a featured project perspective, like, yes, like for us, like Serenity Shield, like I like people that have similar mindsets and synergy. I don't have to promote a token. I can just drive people towards a platform. Yes, it's a revenue driver for us because we're working with you guys as like, it's not necessarily, it's kind of like a partner, but it's more like there's a model going on in this space right now. And most people in this space don't understand what's actually occurring. Projects are literally legitimately paying influencers $5, $10, $20, $30, $40, $50,000 a month to talk about their tokens. I won't talk about a token personally. I'll let a project talk about what their ecosystem looks like. I'll try to drive people into their ecosystem so they can learn more, but I'm not going to drive people into, hey, here's where you buy this coin. Hey, here, this coin can go 100x. And that is what you're seeing. Like it's a bastardized version of pull in the community. And that space is very much so heavy, like Bitcoin, Ethereum heavy, that was being talked about. I forgot my second point, but like it's so difficult to do things in the right way in this space because a lot of people have done things in the wrong way, have made money doing things in the wrong way, and now they're white knights because after they did things in the wrong way, they have enough fucking money. It's not like they didn't know that they were doing these things at the onset in the wrong way. They just have enough money now and they're like, oh, no. I'm going to pivot and now I'm going to do this all correctly because now I have $7 million and it doesn't matter. I can just do things correctly now and then completely switch. Like you have to start somewhere. And if you don't start with morals, you're starting with bullshit. And, you know, it's very, very tricky to do that. It's kind of a fine line. And just imagine so many people right now or so many like quote unquote, whatever you call people, influencers that are taking, you know, payments for tweets or YouTube videos. They're not even cognizant of walking the fine line. They're just literally saying, fuck the fine line. I'm going to take an airplane to the other side and then figure out what happens on the back end. And that's not going to be sustainable for anybody in the space. So
the thing you raised there about partnerships as well and aligning yourself with good people is so important in the space that you're taking a stance that's based on your philosophy and the viewpoint that you have in life. You have to share something with those people to take it forward. I mean, what we're trying to build is organic, and the reality is we have to raise awareness. That's what we try and do, and this is part of what we're doing tonight. We're educating, we're talking about self-custody and the importance of it. But I mean, it's funny, this is what the space does. You know, they're paying each other a lot of money to sort of represent their projects, their tokens, their NFTs, whatever it might be. And you only have to look at the news in the last 48 hours in this space, the two headlines that grabbed my attention, and I kind of laugh because it's in a weird way, it's sort of related to what we're doing, but we're on a different trajectory. But two big headlines was Trust Wallet token soars 47% as Binance CEO shills self-custody solution, followed by another headline, which was Crypto Cold Wallets in Ledger, Trezor sales moon after FTX collapse. And it just, to me, tells you the way the world works. You know, that it is just the audit. It's just a stage, and we're all the audience, and we're getting this stuff rammed down our throat, and we're seeing guys like CZ putting out quotes now like self-custody is a fundamental human right. Man, we were saying that a year ago, and it takes a catalyst and an event for this for people to wake the fuck up. And we were passionate about it, and I nothing will change there. But it's like, if you're the flavor of the month, they're going to put you forward. They're going to let they're going to let you join the club. They're going to let you be part of the party. And that's where this whole point, bringing it full circle, self-custody. No, we make the choice, right? We decide what's good and what's bad. Let's not take what's sort of pushed in front of us. We're invited to be the sheep that joins the herd and just go with the sort of flavor of the month and the topic that's important for now. A lot of these things that we're seeing, like cold storage and hardware wallets, they're great and all the rest of it. It's nothing about what they're doing. I'm all for it. However, is anyone going to care in 6 weeks when the next headline comes out and when there's something else happening, when it's regulations and everyone is running about trying to create new headlines for that? The whole point is
it's the same reason that most people in this space are going to buy after the crypto market has already hit all time high again at $3 trillion. Like if more people weren't going to buy at $3 trillion as a catalyst to pushing us towards $7, $10 trillion market cap, it's the same exact thing. And people are like, oh my God, this space is actually going to the moon, which is an asinine thing. Like this space has become so boring for most people over the past 3, 5, 6 months. This should be the most exciting time for anybody in the digital asset space right now. Just like you were pushing self-custody and self-storage and ownership of your own assets. These things, I mean, it's unfortunate to say, I don't know how you fix the mass populace problem besides holding spaces like this in a way where hopefully that some people, if you hold a space like this, you know, once a week and you get one person to realize that self-custody is important, even during, like, what I would love to see is that these spaces don't even stop during the bull market, you know, and if you can get one person in each space to actually understand what's occurring in this space, and you do it in the right way, like whenever we get super bullish, I would love this. Like, I love whenever the narrative shifts from the mass populist viewpoint. That's what's going to gear up people towards success, because this market is going to get overheated again. We are going to have another bull market. This is not my, I mean, maybe it's just my opinion. And for me, you have people that are hyping and shilling shit, and we've all done it. We're all a little bit of degens. We're all here to make money, and we've all made mistakes. But if you can net gain like real value over top of like maybe potentially even personal shitty decisions, you're going to win out in this space. But you have to really be cognizant of like, who are these people telling me this information? Do they have incentivization aspects to tell me this information? Everybody's a real person. Everybody's going to make mistakes, but like it has to be continuity, and starting these and building out continuity is going to be the biggest thing. And I'll leave it with this, like real quick. I do have to hop off guys at 5, but you know, I Blockchain Backer is a dude that does a lot of XRP TA and stuff like that. And you can look at that how you want to look at it. You know, I'm not advocating to go on and look at his XRP TA videos, but he said something really smart to me probably 6, 7, 8 months ago. And what builds out, you don't necessarily want to build out buyers or sellers of your coin. You want to build out, you know, a fan base built based on your continuity and trying to provide as much value as possible in this space. You want to make it a part of people's routine that they come on, they're going to get some value from spaces like these. And I think a space like this does provide value. So yeah, kudos to you guys for holding it. And I haven't heard one time you guys talk about the pre-sale and the coin. And to me, that should be a byproduct of people actually doing their own research, managing their own risk, understanding what's going on in this space, and then deciding on their own if they do the research, if that's a right fit for them. So I like what you guys are doing a lot. So yeah, this space is great.
Thanks, man. And I'm really glad that comes across, because that was literally the whole premise of this tonight, that this is not about Serenity Shield. We're using our platform because we're a group of collectives that have come together and we share a lot in common. But this isn't about our project. You know, we could, if we wanted to do that, we've got other EMAs we can join. And to be honest, it gets quite boring talking about your project all the time when you're so passionate about so many other facets and aspects of blockchain and the technology. And like you guys, it gets me frustrated when I hear stuff like what we were talking about earlier on some of those other spaces, and I don't get to have the voice that needs to be heard. You know, I know that from a logical standpoint, there's things that need to be spoken about that are getting brushed over, they're getting ignored. It's not the flavor of the month, as we spoke about. And that is the most important thing, that we create a platform where people can have a voice. And the whole point of Serenity Shield and what we were trying to achieve from day one, it wasn't just really so much about our technology. It all stemmed from the fact, and how it was born was out of being screwed over. I personally got shafted by one of the top exchanges when I used to do leverage trading, learned the hard way. Long story for another time. But that was what my sort of journey towards self-custody was. It happened for a reason. Like, I don't regret it. It had to happen. And because of it, I've met so many cool people, and I'm going to meet so many more. I mean, you were talking about BC Backer there. He was one of the first guys I used to watch in the space, and I still to this day follow his content. People think what they like because he makes big, bold statements. But you know what? He always backs them up with caveats. And it's a reality of the space. It's speculative. It's an opinion. It's subjective. We're not supposed to take this stuff as absolute. Look, it's been a pleasure having you here tonight. I know you've got to jump in 10 minutes, so I don't want to kind of lose the time that we've got. Hoss, I would like to kind of get your thoughts as well, just on a couple of things just before we kind of wrap up. And I think there's a couple of questions from the audience, so we'll bring a couple of folk up as well. I mean, just on the back of everything we're talking about, we're going to open these spaces up hopefully each week, and we'd certainly welcome anyone from the community that wants to join.
Can I give a shill real quick?
Of course you can. Of course you can.
So this is somebody from the XRPL. I'm not tied to them, not paid by them whatsoever. They just started a Twitter space like it was a day or two ago surrounding mental health and crypto. And I haven't seen anybody do that yet. And I thought it was like an amazing Twitter space for somebody to try to put together, because a lot of people like this. It's very hard to go through these markets. I think it's Treasury XRPL. And they're doing kind of, it's really an open forum. And it's not like you don't have to come up, but it's just people talking about their experiences. It's about talking about mental health and all these other aspects. And I sat in on that one, and I have issues with all that stuff too. So I have to give a shout out to them. Like, if you want to join into a space, like, I haven't seen anybody do that. And I just think that that's a fantastic initiative. I'll share that with you guys too, Serenity Shield. And then next week, you guys are coming on next week for us too, right? We have, I'll shield Genfinity for a second here. The same topic. Self-custody. We want, you know, Serenity Shield, I believe, is going to be there. We've got the COO of Casper. We have Vietz Vinh from Sum. You run the gamut. Like, we're trying to build it out as agnostically as possible. And it's just a continuation of this space. And I look to be here in these spaces in the future, too. I'm gonna listen now. But I do have to hop off at 5. And thank you guys so much for letting me to come up to speak.
No, it's been a pleasure. For the very first time we've done this, and to have such a great conversation, I've personally enjoyed it. I was a little bit apprehensive and nervous about it. You never know, you think you're going to get two people listening. The audience has been fantastic to see such a high number of people turn out. So it's a testament to all the hard work that we've been putting in to kind of raise awareness. So thank you for joining us. Look, we will definitely be there next week. Before we go, and before we lose the opportunity, just in case, there's a couple of questions from people that would like to speak from the audience. Obviously, I can't verify every account, but there is one account I do know is the Bacon Sandwich. So if you would like to come up and speak, I'm going to bring you up to ask your question, because we have spoken before, and I'm fine, because if we can verify your identity. So let me add you as a speaker.
Yeah, I'm going to add to what he was just saying, to what Ryan was saying. That's kind of like what I try to do, is just keep positivity. And that's what you need to do in this space, because, you know, no, people don't like to be down, but realistically, if you're really that emotionally down in the dumps because you're down, it's probably because you're over leveraged or you're not doing it for the right cause. I mean, all of us are down right now if you look at all-time highs from just say like pre-May or whatever. But you need to always remember, like, you know, there's just all kind of different things that you can do to like keep your mental stability. You know, don't waste time on people that like don't appreciate you. You're always going to be the strongest version of yourself when you're calm. You know, and like in this space, if you're unsure about something, the answer is going to be no, for sure. So like, if you don't know, then just do no. And you should only invest in things that you understand and that you would actually use. That just goes without even crypto. Like, don't invest in things that you don't understand. It makes no sense. And always just look to the future, man. Like, the past is the past and the future is the future. And if you do that, you know, not your keys, not your crypto, and never give out your seed phrase, and diversify yourself and try to learn, man. Like, this is the time to learn. And I appreciate every single person that ever engages with me, adds value to what I say, or adds value in general. Cause like, if you think about it, every single person in here right now, technically, if you want to say, I don't like using the word influencer either, but you have influence. It doesn't matter. Like, the way it is in this space, if you have one follower, 50,000 followers, you're all in the same, you're here for the same reasons for the most part. And only invest in things that you understand. That's all I can say. Like, if you don't understand it, do not invest in it. I don't care if I say to invest in it, someone else says that. First of all, I never tell anyone to invest in anything. But if you're like, oh, I like this dude, he sounds pretty cool, like, and he likes this and that, like Cosmos. Like, don't invest in it if you don't understand it. Like, do your research. We live in an era where there's data everywhere. Like, actually look stuff up and do the work. If you're lazy, then you're lazy. Like, you can only take the consequences. If you're a lazy person, and I hate to be rude, but if you're lazy and you want to invest in things, then, you know, take the consequences, because you're probably going to lose money because you don't know what you're doing. So, like, honestly, I'm here to help people, and that's why I did this, and that's why I always do this, is I really want to help people, you know, and I feel like I have, and I feel like this space has helped tremendously a lot of people. And realistically, that's all crypto is for. It's supposed to speed. We've basically been speed running like thousands of years of inequality and trying to make it a more fair playing ground, because the game is rigged. It's super, super rigged. I know from experiences. I worked for the government. I've worked at, you know, I've been in traditional finance, and I've been around the block, and the game is rigged. Well, crypto is supposed to make it more fair, and it really is. I mean, is it perfect? No, but it really is the only solution. And I say this all the time, and maybe I'm wrong, but like, I really feel like this is like humanity's last chance to right a lot of wrongs. And if it doesn't get it right, then I guess we're all screwed anyways. And we had a lot of fun doing this, but that's kind
of, I think you and I, Cosmos, would get into a lot of trouble if we went out and grabbed the beer together in the Berg. I know that for a damn certain.
You know, Diamond's from the Berg. We're going to dance from the Berg.
Yeah, we're actually going to have to get all of us together pretty soon.
No, I'm totally down for that anyways, because there's a lot of, obviously, Pittsburgh has a lot of brilliant people in college. So it's like the perfect place, like CMU and Pitt and, you know, all the schools in Pittsburgh. So there's no reason why we can't have like a crypto event and recruit some talent. You know what I mean?
So guys, can we just, before we wrap up and lose Ryan, bacon sandwich, do you want to open up the microphone? I think you had a question you wanted to ask the guys.
Yeah, cheers, man. It wasn't so much a question, it's more of a statement. Justin, Dan, Nikos, it's nice to see you again, man. So I wanted to kind of speak for sort of content creators. I don't like to use the word influencer, but content creators around crypto. You know, there's a bunch of UK crypto content creators on TikTok, and we all communicate. We're all in a group together, and we share ideas and things like this. We are trying not to go down the route of, you know, FTX and blah, 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 and all this bad stuff, because, you know, that's everywhere. What we're really trying to do is to educate people right now as to what self-custody is, why it's important, and how people can do it. So there is a contingency of people in the UK that, you know, I'm working with, and we are actively going down that line of educating people on exactly that stuff of self-custody, the importance of that, keeping your seed phrases safe, how to use a MetaMask and things like this. So, you know, we are really focused on trying to go and taking that angle on our content creation at the moment.
That's awesome. And that's what we need more of. We need people in the day-to-day life that can actually make this relatable, because I think that's the biggest challenge that we face. Even if we strip all this FTX nonsense away for a second, prior to all of this, the industry has a real problem talking in layman terms and making things relatable. So all of that really helps. And, you know, our philosophy for digital rights, human rights are digital rights, and all ties in with making it as equal and as accessible as we possibly can without getting bogged down in all of the sort of legal jargon that goes with it. Bacon sandwich, hook me up on the Discord. You and I have got a connection already. So drop me El Beardo on the Discord, and I would like to learn more about that, actually, and potentially ways we can maybe try and help and maybe do a presentation or something in the future.
Sure. I mean, obviously, you know a few of the guys already, probably. You know, Aaron, he obviously hosted you guys, and that's how I met you guys. Let's link up and we'll have a discussion about that.
Nice one, man.
It was pretty amazing even yesterday, Serenity Shield. Like, I was like data dumping, like, really general stuff. Like, here's where I custody XRP off of exchanges. Here's where I custody Casper. Here's where I custody XDC. Here's where I do X, Y, and Z. And I put out a tweet that, like, just random, like, literally data dumping tweets. And the one tweet was, you know, as a general rule for me personally, anytime I send any crypto from exchange to exchange, exchange to wallet, wallet to exchange, anything, I always put out a small test transaction first. And then I always do a second transaction with the full amount. And I would rather lose one of something than a thousand of something. And I'm like, this tweet's going to get like 13 likes. Nobody gives a shit about this stuff. That tweet got like 500 likes. And I was like, that's amazing. Like, because there, and I actually was getting comments underneath that were like, huh, I never thought about doing, like, and it wasn't everybody, because a lot of people were like, yes, that's standard protocol. But some people were like, I never thought about doing that. I think that what you guys are doing, bacon sandwich, and I mean, it's fantastic to get people to come together and just make it a part of the normal criteria to, like, at least empower people in a way where they know how to custody their own assets, or at least use best practices when they're transferring assets and doing X, Y, and Z. Because we've been, a lot of us have been here for so long, at least long enough to, this stuff is second nature to us. And people that are coming into the space, I mean, how many times Serenity Shield have you had a discussion with somebody that, I always interpret people to be here like since 2017, 2018, but there's a lot of people I've talked to recently that were like, yeah, I got in 2020 or 2021. And these just aren't second nature to a lot of people. So, yeah.
Well said, man. Well said. And I think that brings us nicely to the end. I know you need to go, Ryan. It's been a pleasure hosting you. One, I think one of your friends is here. I'm assuming he's one of your friends. You guys follow each other. Is, I don't know how you pronounce this, but X-O-G-E. Sogi.
Zoge and I don't follow each other from Genfinity, but I know Zoge was in the, I talked about that mental health chat that Treasury XRPL was facilitating. I know that he was in that chat. I know that they're building the XRPL. The guy has a lot of synergy and thought around custodying your own digital assets and things like that. So definitely, you know, welcomed up to the stage. So and Serenity Shield, I do have to hop, guys. I promise that I would be in,
Pleasure, man. Yeah. Look, we're going to wrap this one up, and Soj, we'll get you back up the next time. We're definitely hosting. Likewise, I need to kind of call this a night. It's getting a bit late here in Scotland, and it's been an absolute pleasure, guys. Thank you everyone for joining. Hoss, Ryan, Justin, particularly.
Yep. Zoj, pop up next Wednesday. We're doing that space around like the same topic, multiple chains. Like, I would love to get you up to talk to. I know I'm a little bit of a wild animal. I might keep that space going for like 3 hours, which is a little
bit. That's why we love you, man.
That's why we love you. That's only 3 hours.
I'll see you guys, and thank you guys so much for having me.
Take it easy, man. Thanks, Genfinity. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Good night, everyone. That will wrap up the spaces, and we will see you all again very soon. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Cheers, everyone.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was FTX Collapse, Making the Case for Self-Custody, hosted by Serenity Shield and Cosmos Haas. Recorded on Thursday, November 17th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support. Now, with Spark IBC enabled.
When I'm cruising, I'm rushing, no booze on my tongue. When I'm losing my cool like a bruiser in London, the rules are confusing, so let loose the juices and try not to act like they tightened up the noose. These fools are abused like a problem stepchild, ruling the coupe with some modest exile. I'm lost in the cube with the softest textiles, a comfy padded room where I'm walking my best smiles. So wipe the smirk off your face when you're serving. I'm up with a platter of bait behind the curtain. Up with the curse, it's absurd to swerve it, letting these nerds know the weight was worth it. I'll perk it up while I stir in some bullshit. This ain't my first rodeo surrounded by humans. Opinionated merchants trying to steal your worth. It's getting on my nerves, so let's make them feel nervous. I go tit for tat when I'm spitting this rap shit. Getting sick with it like I'm kissing bats. It's spreading sickness like a fucking pandemic. Gun to my head like write the damn epic. My mood is exhumed from the darkest mistakes. Sitting down in hell cooking up these mixtapes. Living through nightmares and dreamscapes. It takes more patience than a hospital police state. So lock it down, locked and loaded like they come for your guns. Fuck no, we won't be getting onto that bus. Quietly sit back and watch the riot beat while the cops get filmed pirating all your privacy. Sign on the dotted line and wave your rights and wave goodbye and pay no mind. You gotta wash the brain and erase the time. Now shut the fuck up while we wait in line.
Terra Spaces.